No one else gets to come. All right? Don't even think about it.
Hello, and welcome to What Are Y'all Mad About Today? A show where we roast reply guys, reactionaries, and radbens.
Oh, I'm Weston, he, they, and I'm not wearing pants.
I'm Easton, I use she, her pronouns. I'm a bisexual stoner cat mom who can't afford lip fillers.
Nikki, my sister, and our special guest, unfortunately couldn't join us for the intro on this episode because she is moving across the country.
But she told us that she convinced her partner that she's a furry as a joke.
What can you expect from this podcast? I'm glad you asked. This is a show where we take trending topics that piss people off and break them down, hopefully in an accessible and fun way. What are we talking about today, Easton?
We are heading back to Turf Island to pick up where we left off with Gene Hatchett's Turfy Titty fanfiction.
Last episode, in part one, we defined TERFs, trans-exclusionary radical feminists, and how they use trans rights activists, or TRA, as a derogatory term for everyone else.
And we recapped the waves of white feminism from the suffragettes to the liberal feminists to the radical feminists and their especially transphobic faction, which was born out of the larger sex wars of the 70s and 80s that also birthed SWERFs, which stands for Sex Work Exclusionary Radical Feminists.
We talked about the publisher of Gene Hatchett's article, The Critic magazine. They claim to be a proponent of free speech and ideological diversity, but mostly just function as a TERF think piece mill.
So Gene Hatchett, she is a historical poser. She's a J.K. Rowling reply guy / fangirl. Mm-hmm. She desperately wants to be in the Shitty Purse Salon brunch club. And she obviously is into J.K. Rowling's tits. I mean, I think that that's a pretty clear profile.
Okay, and before we get back in, a maybe funny, maybe just cringy aside, apparently, the notorious TERFs Julie Bindel and J.K. Rowling developed an inside joke at their radical brunch that they keep referencing on Twitter. It keeps coming up. So J.K. Rowling apparently referred to herself as a third lesbian, and then Julie Bindel made the joke, you can do a lot with third, and keeps calling her a thirder. There's screenshots on Instagram. And this trend of straight rad femmes calling themselves lesbians is arguably, regrettably, it's a thing with a precedent. It's referred to as political lesbianism. Here, I think it's a great example of how it can just be opportunistic queer baiting. And clearly, here is a punchline rather than actual political solidarity.
Yeah, it's pretty rich that they can accuse trans women of making a mockery of womanhood. Trans women who are experiencing misogyny and violence from people like these rad femmes and other types of misogynists. But straight women, especially billionaire celebrities, can reap straight privilege while throwing around queer labels in spaces where they think they can get some clout, knowing they can and likely will discard that label when it doesn't serve them without walking the walk.
And I admit, I'm a little personally biased against straight women using queer women to experiment on and disappear back into straight society, but whatever, I'm not bitter. Anyway, back to Gene Hatchett.
It's turfing time. Let's jump right back into the text at paragraph 5. Take it away, Nikki.
Women viewing these photos can see nothing at all wrong with J.K. Rowling's breasts. We see the smile on her face first. We do not view women in the same way that men view women.
So my comment I wrote down is that I cannot wait to hear her commentary on J.K. Rowling's face. I'm sure she has a lot to say about women's faces coming up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We shall see.
Are we going to get... I am excited. Yeah, this is a wild... I don't know. It's just so, like... elementary, right? Like,
yeah,
to be like, my face is up here, and it's like, yeah, no, I mean, we get it. That's like
mine too.
First grade feminism, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's pretty, I mean, it lacks nuance. I don't know.
Yeah,
And
yeah, it's everything seems to be really black and white with these people.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's weird to assume that like all women viewing women only see smiles first. Like, I think the first thing I noticed was her dress, because it's like pretty colorful and out there. Like, I don't think that's that deep.
I mean,
yeah, same for me. I think I noticed the dress first as well.
I think often I see people's shoes first. I am often looking at the ground, and I also am just obsessed with looking at shoes. And I also don't like feet, so it's like when I see feet in public, it's like a car crash, like I can't look away.
Uh-huh. I love that.
And also I'm gay, so why, I mean, I don't know, I don't always look at their face first.
Right, and like she, I was never able to find her sexual orientation, but reading this, she sounds so fucking heterosexual, like assuming all women look at other women exactly the same. Like,
yeah,
I don't think she's in touch with that kind of shit.
Right.
Often I see makeup first because that's what I'm attracted to. But
yeah, I just think this is such a red herring. Like, this is such like a nothing statement, right? Where it's like basically saying, real women, aka not trans women, don't objectify. We don't objectify each other. And like, you're not a real woman because you're objectifying us. And it's like, no, that's not what's happening here, right? Like, first of all, it's like, it's a joke about a terrible person. Like, I'm not.
Yeah. You know? So here's the next quote.
We know what a female body feels like and moves like because we share the experience of living in one. A man does not. Okay.
Go ahead.
What? Oh, I was just going to say, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
That's a good question.
Like, I don't understand why this is relevant to anything. Also, I think that if I'm reading this right, they keep referencing the way men feel about things because... She's trying to suggest that trans women aren't women, right? Is this like a thinly veiled dunk on trans women? Is that what she's trying to do? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting back into the headspace of this article again, but like, it's just so like, I don't know, ham-fisted and weird.
Yeah, I certainly know what it's like to be inside of a woman, to be in a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. Seeing as how you're in one right now.
Exactly.
What? So there are some really funny tweets about what they were calling the female hive body. All women share the experience of living in one, as if like we're all in the same body.
Oh, so there's like this, it's like a hive mind thing for these rad femmes.
Yeah, bizarre.
Bizarre. Yeah, that is, it is such a wild, it is such a wild thing to be like, I don't know, just lumping all, so like in your crusade to like define what a real woman is, you're like also lumping in and flattening all women's experiences, which seems like a very counterproductive and shitty thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to you. I feel like the only, this person can only speak to their own experience as woman. You know what I mean? They can't like... say definitively that every woman experiences the exact same things that she does.
Yeah. We didn't get to the racism comment yet, did we?
Philosophy 101. I know.
Okay.
Ew. Oh, I can't wait.
I do feel like this kind of discourse of like women share the same experience gets very racist because it's like, there's lots of women with very different experiences from each other and very different bodies who deal with different types of misogyny. It's racist, it's transphobic, it's ableist, it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said this before and we'll say it again, a lot of these rad femmes could benefit from a little intersectional analysis because, right, like this is obviously coming from the perspective of a white woman, like painfully obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I just shared a tweet in the general of average GC or gender critical / TERF living inside a female body.
Is that a parasite? Is that a tapeworm?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
It's a terrible image.
That's how you share a female body.
Oh, I see. I see.
Disco Forest on Twitter said, there's just one massive female body that all GC people live inside. That or they're a hive mind.
Right. So it's like sort of like an Akira situation where, I don't know, just one of those weird movies.
It's like a Borg. It's like a Borg reference.
Yeah.
It's a Borg, probably.
Yeah. They've all assimilated each other. And J.K. Rowling is the head of it.
They're like mushrooms.
Yeah.
They're the Borg. They're
just mushrooms. One giant organism.
Oh, yeah.
Start referring to TERFs as junior mycologists.
Yeah. So I wanted to keep track of like the TERF definition of women. They like to claim that the existence of trans people basically overcomplicates the definition of women. And they're like, no, adult human female. And yet, they're always constantly throwing in these extra qualifiers. So in the running definition we've got so far, a woman has to be transphobic and has to see smiles first and cannot have strong opinions about titties.
Okay.
What if you meet a woman who doesn't smile?
She must not exist. I don't know. Back.
Yeah, must not exist. All women smile.
Women have to smile. That's what feminism means.
Jesus.
And so with all this, she's trying to imply that like the person who wrote the mean tweet is trans and in her eyes a man, and that's why she even wrote that. But I looked through that person's tweets, and that person has said in the past that they are both cis and straight.
Oh. So the person that wrote the tweet that sparked this whole article is a cis woman?
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of her premise is like, oh, this is representative of trans people.
But... Right, but it's... So
like she's representing trans people? Like she's like, this is the voice of trans women? I am the voice of trans women?
Yeah, this cis straight woman. And the original tweet didn't mention trans people at all. It just said hate, but like everyone knows the way that JK Rowling is hateful, so like a hit dog, all of the TERFs hollered.
Well, the hive mind's just responding, you know.
Oh, of course.
Well, that's another, and it's a pack. They roam in
yes.
a pack.
Oh yeah. They gotta defend their own.
Yes. Howl at the full moon.
They watch out for each other when one of them gets loud, the other ones get loud.
Yeah.
And sniff their butts when they greet each other.
And whenever anyone says anything about J.K. Rowling on Twitter, Gene Hatchet is there.
With the hatchet, ready to bring it down, you know?
Yeah. With her...
Maybe gatekeep.
With her poser historical reference.
Right. And sycophantic love of J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't feel very straight to me.
No. It's kind of gay.
Yeah, it seems
in the bad way.
Pretty gay thing to do. Yeah.
In the not fun way.
So like ironically they call themselves like radical feminists as opposed to like liberal feminists could be seen as reformists, but really when they're coming up with all these new dogmatic gender roles that everyone needs to adhere to, it's just basically reforming patriarchy. You don't let go of any gender roles. You just have to define them according to what TERFs approve of. And it's not very radical.
No.
It's not very radical. It's very lateral, though. It's a super lateral move.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Trans exclusionary lateral feminists, I believe is what we're going with.
Yeah. TELF.
Telf.
That's funny.
And as a side note, rad femmes tend to support the prison industrial complex and think that it can be reformed to serve women and fight gender-based violence.
What?
Which is bullshit. I'm gonna just say this is a pro-abolition podcast, but
it very much is.
Very much is.
Yeah. Rad femmes. So again, we have this thing where it's this theme we've got going on here. People say something or use a moniker or
put out something as if it's a fact, but it has no basis in reality. So calling yourself a radical feminist in this case is a misnomer, because like anybody who thinks that the prison industrial complex can be reformed, or that it even like is possible for it to work for the liberation of anyone, has no business in the, even in the same room as someone who calls themselves radical, like who is actually radical, right? A radical idea is, like you said, abolition, which is what we're very much for on this podcast. Like, it's just like, you can't just say that and have it be true. You have to sort of like, you should want to embody those qualities. But again, it's just sort of like a misnomer. It's just something you take on to lend your argument credibility from a cursory glance, but not to back it up with any substance or action other than grumbling on the internet about how you love J.K. Rowling and you're sad that people think she's hateful or whatever. Like, I don't know.
You got a lot of things to say about her titties.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, not very radical. Pretty much just patriarchy reformers.
Mm-hmm. More useful fools.
So here's the next quote.
These trans activists don't seem to like the reality of female bodies in all their beautiful variety and are quick to pounce on a body that does not conform to a porn-dictated stereotype. Their tweets reveal a fear of the female body, which is not surgically altered.
Oh my God.
What?
No one said anything about surgery or porn, but...
Right. So we finally get to the overlap with SWERFs and TERFs. Right?
Yes. Yep, I definitely noticed that.
There we go.
She just had to throw porn performers and their titties under the bus because TERFs and SWERFs go hand in hand.
All right. Well, let's make a list of our own, okay? A couple of things that we have going on is, one, we're pro-abolition, and two, we're very much pro-sex work and sex workers.
Yeah.
And fuck anybody who's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean... You kind of see how, like, these sort of, I mean, intellectually bankrupt and morally bankrupt ideologies, like TERFs, sort of, it always comes with, like, this sort of compounding interest of, like, oh, you can't just be a TERF and not be a SWERF, right? Like, it's just sort of, like, once you sort of, like, dig into these ideologies a little bit, you see that they share a lot of, you dip your little toesies in, and you see that they share a lot of... similar concepts, but then also like there's a lot of crossover with all these like hateful ideologies. And, you know, this isn't even us digging into it. This is like literally just the text.
Yeah. It's things that they are saying, they're admitting on their own that that's just how they feel about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I would have like, if you hadn't told me that a cis woman wrote this, I would have thought for sure, like, a men's rights activist would have written this.
Interesting you say that, because it's going to get even more like that the rest of the essay. But yeah, you are so right.
Yeah, it sounds more like internalized misogyny rather than some kind of radical political ideology.
Yeah.
What? Radical feminism being internalized misogyny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty radical idea.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so much of this is internalized misogyny. I mean, like she sort of tried to slyly reference the male gaze, but.
But there's no men involved in this exchange.
Right. And like, it seems like the whole concept of bioessentialism is like lousy with this internalized. It's lousy with this internalized misogyny. It's very much built on top of and out of these misogynistic ideals of like what women should be in society, as opposed to anything sort of liberating or radical or anything that could give space for like actual liberation for women, you know, and all, I don't mean cis women. I mean, all women, right? Like, to be very clear.
Yeah, I mean, even just slightly femme people, or people who are femme half the time, or people who are femme most of the time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, all of that stuff in between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody benefits from
the liberation of the most marginalized, right? Like lifting up those communities, everybody benefits from them. And like people like this, they don't understand that because one, they have no intersectional analysis. They have barely any analysis at all, I would say. But it's so sad to see stuff like this to me because it's just like, this person isn't anybody, right? This person doesn't have a lot of money. This person doesn't have a lot of power. This person is not in a position of power, right? In a position to make any change, right? But they're also, they have a,
She's middling. She doesn't have as much power as J.K. Rowling or as much as she wants to have, but she does make a lot of television appearances, and I believe she's testified to Parliament before. So more power than she should have.
Ah, I see. So, so
the big P, huh?
Thank you for that. But that does sort of, that sort of goes to my point. What I was going to say is like, this isn't a lawmaker. Yeah. This isn't a business owner. This isn't a billionaire, right? This isn't somebody who's like a mover and shaker in the world, but this is somebody with a platform, right? So what you have here is somebody who can't get a lot done, but they can stand in the way.
Yes.
Right. So they are, so this is why it's sort of sad to me because like, they, this person would benefit from, you know, real radical politics and ideas and like real radical changes to the way the world works. And yet their choice is to stand in the way of that and use their platform to be an obstruction to a better world. And like, it's so sad to see somebody who would materially, directly benefit be like, no, not for, none for me, thanks. I would rather tank this whole shit and go down with the ship. Yeah. And it's like, what?
It's a lot of radical feminism. I do think it's interesting how he went from the hive body to beautiful variety, but we'll see if she keeps a mindset of variety in bodies. And I also want to put a pin in the whole porn dictated stereotype. We'll get back to that. So I want to talk about the whole surgery thing that no one talked about. It's definitely a dog whistle meant to target both trans women and sex workers because rad femmes assume that all trans women and all sex workers have surgeries on their bodies because they have these whole conspiracy theories. So I guess we can like add to their definition of woman as a woman is someone who has had no cosmetic procedures, no surgical alterations to their appearance. And reading that definitely gave me a double take. And before we get deeper into this, I want to say I have absolutely nothing against any kind of cosmetic surgeries, alterations, procedures, treatments, what the fuck ever. Do whatever you want with your body. I don't fuck with the whole like unattainable beauty standard argument because there's literally no such thing as an attainable beauty standard. And no matter what you do to it, your body is your body and no one else's. And I think that's great. But I don't like hypocrisy and I don't like scapegoating trans women over shit that cis women do too, or often do even more, but they're maybe just less transparent about.
I want to follow up a little bit on the bodily autonomy conversation just to kind of flesh that out a little bit. So, right, like if there's a problem with plastic surgery, it's in the way that it's marketed, not in the fact that it happens in general, right? So like, yeah, you, bodily autonomy is a big deal. You should be able to do whatever the fuck you want with your body any fucking time. And if there is a problem with plastic surgery, it's got to be on the business side of it, not on the sense, not on the side where like the people who get it, right? Like,
I think also the people who give it, it has their, I mean, the, you know, the doctors and like the medical industrial complex or whatever is like a huge fucking problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that that definitely informs some things too.
Yeah. The profit motivation. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also like it didn't, you know, it shouldn't escape your analysis here that like
the people who have access to plastic surgery are more likely to be like cis white women than trans people. And because like motherfuckers like this lady are part of the reason why those things are inaccessible to trans people in the first place. And also, like, if you're a street-level sex worker, chances are you don't have very easy access to that stuff either. So
what?
Right. So if we're this is why I wanted to get into this a little bit, because it's like this absurd, offhanded claim. It's again, it seems so innocuous. Like it seems like almost like it makes sense at face value if you're not. And if you don't have like a deeper analysis around this stuff, which I don't blame you if you don't, but I mean, I'm glad you're listening to this. Maybe it's time to get there. Yeah. But
I would argue you don't need that deep of an analysis to get
right
to get to the point where you're like, oh, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
If you spent like a little, even a little bit of time doing any kind of research,
right? But it seems so offhanded. It seems so innocuous or just like throwaway. Like it's just so easy to say, and it's like, yeah, we can get behind that because it's about beauty standards, right? But it's not about beauty standards. It's about power dynamics. It's about access to resources. It's about controlling the narrative in order to set the playing field for what is not acceptable. Discourse, right, around stuff like this. So just kind of clocking all of that, I think, is important as we move forward.
Yeah, I do. As you mentioned, I think the fact that we have beauty standards that then push people to get cosmetic procedures they might not have otherwise gotten is a problem, and that's fucked up. I don't think the people who then get surgeries because of that are necessarily the ones creating those beauty standards. So, and I'm not an expert, so take all this with a grain of salt, but I have watched a lot of Lauryn Hill videos on YouTube and learned a little bit about how to spot cosmetic procedures. And first off, just the cover photo she chose of J.K. Rowling.
She's got like that like gossamer shawl sewn into her fucking
gown,
rhinestone cowgirl dress. Fucking gross. I hate that dress.
Really? I actually don't hate it, but
I don't know, I feel like the hand thing is like a little too much for me.
I feel like I need to see it on someone else. It's hard for me to enjoy anything that J.K. Rowling is a part of.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, like she said, you're supposed to see her smile first. When you see J.K. Rowling, the first thing I see is, oh my God, that person's a fucking annoying turf.
Right.
Yeah, or like, oh, this person's rich.
Yeah.
Or I say like, or I just like, oh, that person has red hair. I don't know. Like, I'm just whatever. I see her nails and her, you know, I guess boobs, they're there, but you know, that's like the third or fourth thing on the list, right? But also like it's a dress that like draws your eyes to her boobs. I don't know. Yeah. Like that's the fucking point of it, right? Like part of it.
I also think about like,
well, this isn't even the titty picture.
Right.
I also think about how like the dress is like what the fit of the dress is. You know what I mean? I think about that kind of stuff a lot too before I'm like, oh man, you know, I might want to ask somebody where they got a cute dress or something like that.
Yeah, right. It's because we're gay, but yeah.
Since she said the comment about cosmetic procedures, I look back at this photo again, and it stuck out to me very glaringly that she like very obviously has lip fillers, which like, cool.
Yeah,
I'm here for lip fillers. I've seen a lot of lip fillers in my day, especially on white women, and it's like it's very clear she doesn't have any wrinkles in her lips, etc. And then especially when you look at old photos, and listeners, you can check our Instagram to see all these photos we're mentioning. So then after I noticed that, I was like, okay, let me find some old photos to compare just to make sure that I'm like, you know, not just projecting or whatever. And then when I did that, I found a lot more.
In the next image,
you can like really see the difference in her lip shape and size.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also see a difference in her cheekbones as well. I don't know if that's surgery or not, but they look way higher and more pronounced.
Yeah,
you know, I would, if someone told me that J.K. Rowling had a facelift or two, I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the, you know, that's what I was going to say. And I don't want to get ahead of you here, Easton, so.
No, go for it.
Well, I was just going to say this is a perfect example of, like, who gives a fuck if J.K. Rowling has had plastic surgery, right? Like, who gives a shit? Like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. Like, also, she's filthy rich. Like, sure. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Well, you're sitting around bored one day. You're like, all right, I can drop $20,000 on whatever the fuck I want any fucking time. Like, who cares? Like, the only reason we're even talking about this.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I said if I was filthy rich, I'd take my fucking body to the shop, dude. I'd do so many things to my body.
Same.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? You know what I mean? Why not? Just
I would get lip fillers.
Yeah, sometimes just because you can. Who cares, right? Like, So, like, the only reason we're even talking about this is because this fucking Jean Hatchett, is this Jean Hatchett that we're talking about?
Yep.
This Jean Hatchett person is, like, decided to die on the hill of, like, body modifications and plastic surgery. It's like you're fucking, like the queen of your movement or whatever the fuck.
Right.
Like, has...
Is not a woman to you.
Right. Is no longer meets your definition of womanhood.
Yeah.
And it's just such an absurd thing. And like we wouldn't even be here talking about it. Like, no one gives a shit except for, like, apparently you. And so, like, it just goes to show how absurd the fucking argument is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would have not have noticed if she weren't a TERF and weren't, like, being defended online by TERFs who are so anti-cosmetic surgery.
Right.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Yeah, so I definitely see what you're talking about with the cheeks, especially because in these more recent photos, her cheeks seem to be higher. Like, most people, the flesh underneath your eyes kind of recedes a little bit. There's a bit of hollowing, and that tends to increase with age, but she has very little. It's, like, pretty seamless from her eye, the bottom of her eyelid, it goes straight into her cheek, even more so than when she was younger. So that makes me think cheek filler. And this is, like, very subtle, but in some of these photos, you can see a tiny bit of a ridge on the edge, the back of her cheeks, which makes me think they might be implants, but I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on that.
Okay.
But it is, like, a ridge you don't see in her older photos. And then, like, in the third photo, you can see in that profile the difference in the amount that her cheeks protrude.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And then I have some, like, videos.
Oh, it's like a fade. It's like a fade in between, like, a younger picture of JK and an older picture of JK. Mm-hmm. That are the same proportions, and there's definitely, like, differences in the nose and the lips and maybe a little bit in the chin.
Yeah.
And the cheeks, it's little cheekies and the brow ridge maybe.
Right. And how much of this is aging and how much of this is surgery? Like, I don't know, but, like,
Do think after looking at way too many photos, I do think the nose is just how nose shapes change when they age, because normally people who have nose jobs, they shrink with age, and I don't see any shrinkage.
Yeah, her nose looks just about the same.
Yeah, her chin just kind of changes shape in different images, so that didn't stick out to me. If you also look at her eyelids, you should be able to see, I think, the most dramatic change. Her eyelids go, like, up and in, and it's, like, called an upper blepharoplasty, which is, like, surprisingly common. And, like, in theory, it could be categorized as a cosmetic surgery or not, because it's sometimes, like, she clearly had hooded eyelids before. Sometimes that can obstruct your vision, so some insurance plans will cover it as, like, a medical necessity. Okay. But then that also highlights the whole issue of, like, if I'm just looking at it from the outside, I don't know anything about hooded eyelids or whatever, I could say, well, you changed your body because of appearances or blah, blah, blah. But a lot of TERFs make the same kind of judgments on the outside about people, the motivations people have for changing their body, as if it's just for appearances or for the male gaze, when it's like, there's a lot of reasons you might want to change your body, and all that's valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are, you know, medical necessities. Some of them are just for funsies. Like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them are a means of survival for some trans women who they're
absolutely,
a lot of their dysmorphia is tied to different things in their body that they can get changed, and like, fucking, yeah, do it if it's gonna help you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that shit can literally, it literally saves lives. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a no brainer.
And I guess, like, less pressingly, a lot of models and actors and stuff get cosmetic procedures so they have more, like, role opportunities and stuff. There's, these things have, like, you know, material impacts in people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah, any number of good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like there's more good reasons to get plastic surgery than there is bad ones.
Honestly, yeah, that's how I feel. I agree.
Yeah, and apparently the bad reasons are just, like, really, really out of touch and, like, way off base and, like...
Mm-hmm. When it's marginalized people.
Yeah, there's no, like, purity of the human body. Like, there's no, like, purity standard to uphold. That's just nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is nonsense. All that to say is that, like, yeah, maybe J.K. Rowling's had some plastic surgery, maybe a little bit more than we can tell, maybe not. I mean, for sure lip filler, but whatever, like... Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think the point is like, mm-hmm. look, even J.K. Rowling, like, gets a little touch up here and there, whatever. Like, who gives a shit?
And it doesn't change her status as a woman. It doesn't change her gender.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I guess it just lends itself to the argument of, like, who, like, only TERFs, apparently, TERFs and SWERFs, give that much of a shit. And, like, Shitty Cisman, obviously, but give that much of a shit about body modifications.
Yeah, but, like, they definitely, like, scrutinize, like, sex workers and trans folks, but, like, not their queen.
Yeah, there's, I was watching this YouTube video and they were making fun of this person who has this whole theory about how he can take, like, all of these celebrities are trans.
Oh my god.
But, like, most celebrities are trans, and there's, like, this, he has, like, all these diagrams and stuff that he has made where he's like, look, like, this is this specific kind of, like, shoulder to hip ratio thing that you can always tell, and it's, like, comparing pictures that are obviously, like, don't make sense. Like, there's one of someone, like, totally, like, completely turned a different direction, and they're like, look, see, like, you can tell by this, it's the same as in this other photo, and it's, like, a totally different A. Like, I don't know, it's
wild. I guess everyone is trans.
Yeah, everybody's trans.
Yeah, that's wild.
So yeah, her whole surgery comment is bullshit on multiple levels. But let's see what her other problems are with trans women. So here is the next excerpt from that same paragraph. And for context, this is about female bodies.
Quote unquote. If it is found wanting in the lustful eyes of men, then she should be ready to accept their judgment and subsequent ostracism from sanctioned groups of aesthetically pleasing women, which includes trans women. I'm sorry.
What? I mean, I guess, you know, you. I read of that could be that you're calling trans women aesthetically pleasing, so maybe I'll just take that compliment.
I guess.
Take it where I can get
it. Yeah, I wrote that down, that, like, it sounds like her issue is that trans women are too hot.
Yeah.
they're taking all the dick.
Hot women must be trans, and men must be more into trans women than her, and I guess that threatens her. And I'm not going to say she's wrong, but why cry about other people being hot?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what? So, okay, this is the most absurd shit yet. I think this is, like, this really fucking blows me away, because it's like, like, the sentence right before is, like, their tweets reveal a fear of the female body, which is not surgically altered. And then goes on to say, like, wanting. Okay. Also, this reads like a bad romance novel.
Yeah.
Found wanting in the lustful eyes of men.
That's her thing.
Ready to accept their judgment and subsequent ostracism from sanctioned groups. Oh, shut the fuck. Okay.
Yeah, who is the sanctioned, like, government-sanctioned group of hot trans women? Like, where...
Right.
What is that just like, organization?
Yeah.
The council of trans or whatever.
The TNA or whatever. The tits and ass organization.
Yeah. And again, this is based on one random straight cis woman's tweet. Is now social sanction. That is everyone's standard.
Right. So now
what the hell?
Add to the list of like things that like don't make you a woman is like being part of the trans Illuminati for like beauty standards in the United States. Like what the fuck? Like this is so far removed from reality.
I wrote that down. Add to the TERF definition of woman, you cannot be too hot.
You can't be too hot. You have to be homely and what? And ostracized by the sanctioned group of aesthetically pleasing women. Also, it's like comma, which includes trans women at the end. Like it's like dropping some sort of bomb. Like it's like supposed to have like this weight and gravity at the end of the sentence. And it's just like, it's fucking nonsense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I'm honestly very confused by this quote.
I was too. That's why I sat there for like 30 seconds and didn't say anything or whatever. I was like, what are we even talking about?
It is if it is found wanting in the lustful eyes of men. So if men in general, if men think it is valuable aesthetically, then, and you don't want to conform to that, you should be ready to accept the judgment and ostracization that you will experience from the group of women who are embracing the things that men find valuable.
That makes no sense when you said it back. That still makes no sense. That's gibberish. Anyway, you say it. Like, I was like trying to follow you and I was like, no, brain it does just not like compute. Like
some weird world building. I'm just like, this sounds like a fantasy novel.
Yeah.
It's like a bad fanfic.
And like, again, she's like interpreting the male gaze when there were no men involved. It is fucking cishet woman commenting on another cishet woman's body. And it's like, ugh, men.
Right. It also posits this world where like men and trans women are like in cahoots to like to like tread on the poor downtrodden like average looking woman or whatever, which by the way doesn't mean anything. Like we already said, we reject beauty standards. Like let's be very clear, there is no real measurable standard for beauty outside of the constructs of like our society and capitalism and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, there are arbitrary ones that are assigned to that.
Right. Like everybody's hot to somebody, right?
Yeah.
True.
So meaning that like that's the standard of beauty for whoever thinks you're hot. Like it so that's how like real attraction works and should work. It is, however, unfortunately informed by societal beauty standards and what is what drives people into like things like diet culture and stuff like that, which is like billions of dollars worth of revenue every year for companies. But so like this posits a world where like men and trans women are in cahoots for like average looking to shit on average looking women or whatever. But really like, I think we've already said this, but this ideology is in cahoots with the patriarchy. So like,
exactly.
It's like opposite day over here.
Yeah. I had written down how like, she's assuming that cishet men are the number one allies of the trans community, which is like, have you met cishet men?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, what, you know, yeah, you know, if I see a chaser out in the wild, I'm going to want to punch him in the face. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I don't care for it. I don't need it in my life. I don't want that. We don't want them to be our allies.
Very fair.
Nikki, can you?
I guess before we get to the next paragraph, I wanted to explicitly say what her working TERF definition of a man is that they do not see smiles, they have strong opinions about titties, they love porn, and they are more attracted to trans women than cis women.
Right. And look, we should put these up. On social media.
So, yeah, the first quote is someone tweeted, I believe a trans woman, but she deleted her account probably from fucking TERF harassment, so I'm not going to say who it was.
Okay.
So.
These are the cis white women that think trans women are jealous of their appearance and want to look like them. Followed by a series of laughing emojis.
Nikki, can you do me a favor?
What's up?
Can you read the next paragraph as Werner Herzog?
And in this tweet, cis women are seen to be in direct competition with trans women to prove who is the more perfectly female.
Is that German?
It's Werner Herzog.
It's who Werner is that? Herzog. He's like a famous director who's like very slovenly, like very depressing, like cis, oh. Has like there's a bunch, there's like a million like horrifyingly depressing
quotes. Right, like about the inherent darkness of the human soul and shit like that.
Oh. I wrote, she completely missed the point that cis women are the only ones making up a competition, and the only people who are saying you're not a real woman are fucking TERFs.
Yeah.
But okay.
Right. So wait, this is the next, these are the next sentences in this article?
I actually don't remember if they are. I can double check that.
Indeed they are.
Because there's a bunch of things I skipped over.
Oh, right, right. This is what we're highlighting. Okay, cool. Because I was confused. Because, like, what the fuck is going on? Because none of this shit makes any sense. But I'm good.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily make sense in context.
Right. Well, that's why I was asking. Because, like, it hasn't so far. So, wait. So, I need some clarification on what this is even fucking talking about. If we can do that real quick. Mm-hmm. What is this referencing? This is referencing a tweet?
Yeah. Someone, wrote a tweet about the photos of like the radical brunch selfies and was like, this is who they think we want to look like. Okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And so that's what the tweet says. And then,
yeah. And this then is her commentary. Jane on that Hatt's tweet.
Commentary. Okay. In this tweet
where like the tweeter is acknowledging that TERFs are always accusing trans women of wanting to be them, and she's like, no, that's bullshit. And this bitch, fucking Jean Hatchett, is like, see, that proves you just want to be us.
But not only do they want to be you, but they're also like in their trans Illuminati where they collude with men. Also are judging and setting standards that are unattainable. Like which one is it? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, I know they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but it's just like, this is a kind of incoherent, like,
let me just be consistent.
Let me clarify a couple of things for you. A little inside baseball about the trans Illuminati. men's purpose within our very intricate and deep organization as they are used almost exclusively as ottomans for comfy chairs. They're also used as plate alternatives, and sometimes we cut their dicks off. Just so you know, and we use their blood for satanic rituals. Just so y'all got... you heard it here first.
I guess TERFs are mad that they can't use them as ottomans.
Yeah. They didn't get invited to the Ottoman party.
I mean, they could just ask.
I guess, but they've got to submit to men and put all of their personality into that oppression without doing anything about it.
True. Look, takes up a lot of time. It really eats up your schedule. You wouldn't believe.
Yeah. I also wrote the note that it's TERFs and misogynistic men who try to define perfect femaleness. And no one else fucking cares.
Right.
Yeah, they just sound like assholes.
Right. Like even your, I gotta say, I think even your average everyday man doesn't really give a shit what your titties look like. Like, men just like boobs. Like, it's okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's actually in my notes later. But yes, that's so extremely true. Wild. Don't tell rad fans. I also want to point out, like, I guess not that anyone here needed proof that TERFs pull this shit, but that same user who tweeted that did post screenshots of cis TERFs, like, harassing them and saying, well, you just want to look like me, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not something that you pull out of her fucking ass. Like, it's a thing that TERFs do, and right. It's disgusting. But this is, like, also classic Darvo. Like, we talked about in a previous episode about how these abuse tactics get institutionalized, but this is something that, like, abusers do. They accuse you of doing the thing that they're doing to you to deflect from their own abusive bullshit. And they're, like, accusing trans women of being in competition, even though that's literally what they do.
What does Darvo mean?
It's fucked up. So it stands for Deflect, Accuse, Reverse Victim and Offender. And it's basically, yeah, when an abuser gets called out for abuse, or even to, like, preempt getting called out for abuse, they say, oh no, this person abused me, and, like, look at the way they reacted to my abuse. That proves that they're the abuser. That kind of shit, you know?
Okay. 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 Yeah.
Arguably with Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah, like the entire defamation trial that just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen a lot of that in the press.
Careful, y'all. We'll get sued.
Oh, yeah. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Alleged Darvo.
Alleged Darvo, even though anybody could watch that back, I suppose. Yeah. No, I think it's a really good point. Like, this is... And you know, we're sort of like, again, we're building themes here. We're building themes. Like, a lot of this stuff, a lot of these ideologies do mirror, like, abuse tactics and abusive behavior. And you know, this is, like, also mirrors the abusive system of misogyny, right? So it's like, it's where it comes from. It's what it looks like. It's what fuels it, I guess. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of just clocking all that.
She's supposedly an anti-abuse activist, but.
It's like someone's first draft of, like, a dystopian.
Oh my God.
YA novel.
Yeah. Oof.
This is how, you know, yeah, and, like, cis women are, like, the fucking overlord oppressors.
Mm.
Right.
Seems to be their goal.
Yeah, I'm like, do they want that? Like,
that's how they talk.
It's not happening now, but, like, if you want, like, a hot trans dom mommy, like, you could just, again, you could just ask. Like, it's not that hard to find, I'm sure.
Yeah. You could pay.
Yeah, you can definitely pay.
Yeah, we'll take your
you
money.
Should.
So I just posted her next sentence.
Oh, and you were just talking about Darvo.
The tweet conveniently ignores women of color, and the racism of that is glaring. Are you fucking kidding me?
Just like you have done this entire time up until now, when you're, like, weaponizing the condition of people of color to, like, have some kind of very paper thin argument. Like, I don't understand.
Also, the idea that, like, being trans and a person of color are, like, mutually exclusive. Like,
yeah. Yep. And when I read that, I feel like that's, like, such typical, like, white half-assed anti-racism, just trying to, like, find some knee-jerk erasure. Like, you said this group is very white when there is one black woman, so therefore that's you being racist, not us being racist for being so overwhelmingly fucking white.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I am flabbergasted by this. I was not expecting this. I think it is deplorable and so sinister to include this in this sort of takedown of this lady's tweet or whatever.
Yeah.
I
mean, can it get worse than this?
Oh my
God. I feel like this...
It does.
Every quote I've been like, this is the peak of...
What? Or this is a new low, either way, right? Like, this is like...
Yeah.
We're gonna keep escalating.
Oh my God. I don't know what to... I don't know what to do with this information. Like, it is making my brain boil.
I can't... Can't wait to go back to the Illuminati headquarters and share this experience with all the other trans women in the coven or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's in Mount Rushmore.
It's in Mount Rushmore.
One question I have is, where are women of color in this like female hive body theory?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
right. Well, they're only around when it's convenient. I mean, that's obviously the tactic is like, right? Like
exactly. Just to weaponize tokenize
all jokes aside. It's like, yeah, well, women of color can be part of our movement when it's convenient for us to use them as a shield, I guess, which is disgusting. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
It's racism. It's very racist.
Okay.
No, you, Jane Hatchett.
You no, you
are racist.
No,
you.
I just posted the next part of that paragraph.
Oh, women do not look at them in the same way as men do. We enjoy it with our hearts. We smile.
Mm.
What?
What?
Right. Women do not look at them in the same way as men do. We enjoy it with our hearts. We smile.
Okay, I'm going to read this whole paragraph again. And I want you at home.
Wait, this is all one paragraph?
Technically, like the tweet ends a paragraph.
I'm going to read these last two lines again. And I want you at home.
Okay.
To just sit with this for a second and I don't know. See if this makes any fucking sense. The tweet conveniently ignores women of color and the racism that is glaring. Women do not look at them in the same way as men do. We enjoy it with our hearts. We smiled. What the fuck is that referencing?
Yeah, what is the them in that sentence? Women do not look at them. Who is that?
Them's the TERFs in the brunch selfies.
And she's like, no, no, no. Real women see this and smile and enjoy it with their hearts.
Oh, okay.
And you're just being racist and misogynistic.
I see.
Which, like, that comes off as so racist in itself because, like, I thought the same thing looking at those photos. Like, that's a very white room and it's a very white woman thing to not notice when there's only one fucking person of color. Like, I don't know, I always notice when I'm in a space and it's, like, super white, but I assume a lot of white people don't necessarily notice that.
Right. Well, I mean, I look.
No, the hive body enjoys it with
their hearts. They enjoy it with their hearts and their minds and their smiles. And it's just so heartwarming to see, like, someone in a shirt that says lesbian, not queer. You know? So fucking heartwarming.
That makes me smile.
So heterosexual of her.
Yeah. You just, it just warms you. Yeah.
It makes me smile like this.
Nikki, so that's a frown.
sorry, I got confused. I don't know, just the rhetoric of the, it's really changing my mind, you know what I mean?
Right. You know what's
it's convincing me of something.
What's more heartwarming than
TERFs at brunch?
What's more heartwarming than powerful rich white lady TERFs at the purse salon brunch spot?
At the knockoff Prada purse brunch salon.
At the Paul Mitchell Louis Vuitton KFC, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, sponsored by Barefoot Wines.
I do want to explicitly add to our working definition of women, according to TERFs, is that when they see pictures of other TERFs, they have to enjoy it with their hearts and smile like a fucking weirdo. So next,
oh my god,
we're going to skip a little bit for the sake of building to a climax and keeping this escalating structure. We're gonna skip the clappening for now and we're gonna go ahead to page 4.
The clappening. All right, let's go.
The clappening.
Yeah, here is the next quote.
When women talk with each other of our bodies and the perils, pitfalls, but mostly the joys of them, the laughter is often raucous and untamed. Periods and menopause, orgasms and body hair, this free and easy camaraderie around our shared female experience is something no porn-obsessed man will hear or understand because women do this in spaces away from men. This secret world of women terrifies these men.
So we're back to the hive body.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, this is literally describing like an Illuminati type, like a...
Right?
Like a secret world. A secret world!
Look, right? Honestly, radical like...
feminism is like... the isekai equivalent of political ideology, like what the hell?
Right, like look, you make all of these women nuns and like throw them in the 17th century and you have like a fucking erotic fanfic on your hands. Like I don't understand. You know, I don't get this is just, oh my god, I can't even, somebody else talk.
The
I fucking
perils,
holy shit.
Pitfalls, but mostly the joys of them. The laughter is often raucous and untamed.
Yeah.
Periods and menopause, orgasms, and body hair. Okay, so everyone has body hair, and I would assume that orgasms is a much more universal concept than menopause and periods. Those things aren't necessarily specific.
Men do not understand
those
things.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Okay, then, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Look, no one comes but... fucking cis women, okay? No one else gets to come. All right?
And
don't even
never,
think about
ever
it.
Ever come in the presence of men.
Yeah. No, which
that's important to radical feminism.
Which also may or may not be their fault. I mean, men are pretty bad at sex, but you know what I'm saying? Like
in the porn obsessed man thing, I'm like,
yeah, what?
Oh, no, just bring it up again.
And again and again and again.
Oh yeah, I wanted to say some stuff about how porn like truly like fetishizes this. Yeah, porn really has come a long way from inventing the T word. So full disclosure, I watch a lot of porn or whatever.
Same.
Yeah, I watch it too.
But yeah, I watch a lot of porn, and I've watched a lot of specifically trans porn since I was like a lot younger. Like literally in the past like 2 or 3 years, they've stopped using the T word and started saying trans more often. Like official porn publishers have started to use the word trans and stuff, and it's ridiculous. I just feel like a lot of cis men and a lot of cis women alike, their first and only introduction into what a trans person is like or would look like or how they would act is porn. And I feel like it's like a huge can of worms. Because at the same time, you know, as some of those women are cool, like I followed some of their careers and stuff and they're really nice, and they are reforming the porn industry and stuff in their own ways. And that's like a good example. That's like a role model style thing to do. But then also at the same time, like they have to play they have to play ball. No pun intended, I guess. They have to play ball with like this monolith of fetishization that like almost it's like water in a chemical reaction, like has to be a part of the industry at this point. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought porn beauty standards only affect cis women.
Oh honey No, right? I mean, yeah, it fucked me up for a while too, because I was like all of these women, like they're so skinny or they're like buff, they like have six packs and shit, and they have like huge tits and like they've had work done on their faces and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'll never look like that, or like, you know, like wishing I had just been like born with that natural beauty or whatever. Like it's disgusting, and it's just, I'm so thankful that I've flipped that back around into incorporating it into my analysis. And it just makes me enjoy porn that much more.
Yeah.
So I just have a better take on it. I got a better take on porn in general. So I'm like,
yeah,
hell yeah. I want to like have orgasms and watch porn.
Yeah.
Right. That's your right as an American citizen.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty objective that the porn industry is a lot kinder to cis women than it is to trans women in a lot of ways. Among cis women, there actually is a whole lot of diversity in porn. A lot more so than Hollywood, though trans women are held to more like specific standards. And then like something specifically I want to point out, her list of periods, menopause, orgasms, body hair. 3 out of 4 of those things are very popular porn categories. And the menopause one, I only saw one video on Pornhub under the menopause category, but like per Rule 34, it is out there. But like people love body hair. Body hair is very in fashion these days. Bush is like really big. Orgasms, yeah. Like what? I guess clearly they only fuck with men who say women can never have any orgasms.
Just doing it wrong, that's all.
And periods, people are really into periods. You'd be surprised.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, also, I have my period, too. I also, as a trans woman, I get, like, a period. And I, like, have, like, a week or whatever out of the month where I'm just, like, pissed off at everything. Mm-hmm. Just want to say that for anyone who might be confused listening to this. Like, oh, do... Yes, the hormones affect me. And yes, I am synced up with my partner.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I so like right, like this idea of like this secret world of women, like like it sounds so absurd, but what it's saying, what I'm reading here anyway, is that like this is an exclusive club and
exactly
trans women aren't allowed because they wouldn't understand because they don't fit these categories. So, but by
they don't have body hair,
but that's a lot, right? But that's illogical because
they don't have orgasms,
right? But that's illogical because, well, not to mention, like, there's trans men who deal with menopause or menstruation, what? You know what I mean? So, like,
don't tell them trans men exist,
right? There's also that, but like, you know, like,
their heads are really
what, you know, but
scanner style,
it's like. It creates this like exclusive club, and then you create vague and unattainable standards, vague and unattainable like criteria to enter the club that like this woman probably doesn't even meet. You know what I mean? Like J.K. Rowling already didn't meet the criteria, right? That's why we're keeping this list because this is something that oh fuck, there goes my camera. Please keep me freeze frame like this while I'm saying this. This is something that these people always do. They create these exclusive clubs. They create the tactic here is to create a moving goalpost to be like, there is a club. Yes, there is a club. No, you're not part of it. And here are the standards. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, cool. Well, I meet that. Like, well, actually, you know, these are the standards.
Exactly.
These are the standards, right?
Yeah, it's like. That's like having like hurdles to cross to vote. Like I don't. You're like trying to keep it away from someone. It's gatekeeping. Yeah. It's
exactly that's her whole thing. Gatekeeping.
Well, it's not just gatekeeping, right? Like this is.
Also, now we know who the protagonists of the dystopian YA novel are going to be. It's the secret organization of. Sexually liberated women with body
that
hair.
All takes place at the combo KFC, Paul Mitchell, Louis Vuitton. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's good to draw parallels, right? Where we can to how these ideologies and this sort of like absurdity is modeled by systems that exist in our government or, you know, these. So like what we're talking about is like creating a club saying, no, you're not in it and moving the goalposts. It's the same as the Jim Crow laws, the black codes, voter ID laws, right? Like these sorts of things are played out, you know, in our systems, they're codified in our laws at different points in history, even now sometimes, right? Like this stuff doesn't come out of nowhere, right? This stuff is not just how people are. This is born of the systems that we are steeped in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently in England, too. I mean, definitely in England. I don't know, like, a ton of stuff about UK politics, but I know that they are worse about those kinds of things sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're big on gatekeeping British identity.
Yeah. I mean, we had to get it from somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are deadbeat dads.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
You hear that? You hear that, England? We're coming for our alimony.
I do want to add to our working TERF definition of women is that they talk about periods, menopause, orgasms, and body hair freely and easily with other women. They laugh so much. I guess I imagine the fact that my mom has always been terrified to talk about any of these things with me because I guess she's not a woman. And then they diligently hide all of these things from men. They hide away when they're on their period. They like cover up any kind of menopause symptoms. They shave every inch of body hair before ever being seen by a man, and they never ever come when a man is looking.
Right. So that also means that they don't have any sort of good communication or rapport with their male partners if they are straight in this case, right? Like,
and yeah, she comes off very straight. But yeah.
Yeah, Do we know if Gene Hatchett's straight? I think I may have asked this already, but is Gene Hatchett straight?
I don't know for sure, but like the way she writes.
Is Gene Hatchett one of those straighties? Mm-hmm. Straightos?
Ew.
She comes off extremely straight. And yeah. It's also, I guess like her and other TERFs take so much pride in giving birth, but then they also shit at like lesbians for finding ways to have kids. So it's like clearly they like a big part of their identity rests in having partners who can impregnate them, who I guess we can assume as are men, or else they like definitely view them as men. But they also maintain this whole like double life while being invested so thoroughly in their male partners, also like have to keep all these things away from them. It's bizarre and it sounds fucking exhausting. Like, I can't imagine being this kind of straight. Like, sounds
miserable. that's what Gene Hatchett's leading us to believe, right? Is that this is the collective experience of women. Because it's like,
I cannot relate.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, me neither.
I know for a fact my partner can't relate to that.
Right. And it's, you know, it is this kind of...
Not many can.
No. You know, it is, yeah, I don't know. It does seem like a convoluted and unhealthy existence to live your life that way. Now, yes. I don't think in practice all of that works out the way that she's describing it, which is like another point I want to make.
Is like
this sounds like bullshit because it is bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no way that like all of these things ring true in the absolute sense that they are presented to us in this article, right? Like, it's not possible. So that's kind of how you know.
An idealized version.
Exactly. So that's
sanitized, idealized version.
Exactly. And that's how you fucking know that this is like, kind of, it doesn't hold water. Like, it's just kind of bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the ways that you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
You ever like, seen those diaper commercials where they like take a bunch of Kool-Aid or something and they dump it into a diaper and it like catches all of it, and then like they dump it into another diaper and it's like spilling all over the place? Brand X or whatever. This is like a Brand X diaper situation.
I love that.
All the iced tea is spilling out.
Oh my god.
Can't get it to stay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Cringetopia shit, like. Oh, now we know what the name of the fictional dystopian land and or like government or city or whatever. It's called Cringetopia. I mean, it's
That's the secret world of women that terrifies men.
Yeah, we have our antagonist, which is the trans Illuminati that use men as as ottomans for their legs, and we have our protagonist, which is like a secret group of cis women who love to talk about menopause in like fields of flowers. And then we also have like our
and take brunch smelfies and smile at brunch selfies.
Yeah, they're really into brunch.
And then also your heart warms when you see those.
So
amazing.
Yeah, this is wild. This is some wild shit.
It's a really, really wild one.
We are about to get so much wilder.
Wowee. I don't know about y'all, but this turf has me real cheesed off.
So, listening back, I realized we talked a lot about beauty standards, but left out something that's probably really important to name, and that is cis beauty standards specifically, and how those are enforced on all women. Because I know for me as a cis woman, I was pretty taken aback by the phrase at first, because it forces you to reconsider a lot of societal dogma that we were taught to take for granted, and to decenter yourself if you're cis. And so like Jean Hatchett completely lies and acts like cis women are held to trans beauty standards, but it's literally the opposite. All women, and especially trans women, are held to cis beauty standards, and we're all being scrutinized and judged as long as there's a motivation to distinguish cis women as real women. And on theme with how lifting up the most marginalized really helps everyone, decentering cis normativity actually gave voice to why I've had certain insecurities throughout my life, really chipped away at them. So I have big feet, broad shoulders, a lot of body hair, which doesn't necessarily fit into cis ideals of beauty, which are dependent on perfect biological but socially sanctioned sexual dimorphism. And sexual dimorphism is differentiating a species into two distinct categories. Ideological sexual dimorphism expects for every trait to be totally different. So then it becomes shameful to have any trait that you could also have in common with someone of a different gender. As someone who wears a lot of things that are made for men because they fit my body correctly, cis beauty standards are the only reason to be ashamed of it, because there's clearly like nothing wrong with that otherwise. Because like we said, there's nothing wrong with the way that bodies just are. Bodies vary infinitely. That's okay. That's a good thing, actually. And I honestly don't have the range to get more in depth into all that cis beauty standards entail, but I just wanted to plant that seed for folks to think about in particular and maybe seek out more information on if this is new to you.
Thank you. That was very well said, Easton. I also want to add a little bit to this conversation. In this episode, I talked about there being no real beauty standard, and I want to clarify what I meant. First, there are certain standards for beauty informed by white supremacy and spread by colonialism and enforced by imperialism, sort of imposed on the world. Things like being thin and having light skin, etc. And these standards do negatively affect a lot of people, especially Black femmes and trans folks and any combination therein. I don't want to downplay the harm that this does in the world. What I should have said is that we should all be trying to unlearn and work toward the decolonization of our idea of beauty and really decentering attractiveness as like the pinnacle of what we strive for. Especially because oftentimes femmes are only valued for how close they are to this toxic beauty standard. Last thing about it, everyone likes people for different reasons, and everybody thinks somebody is hot. So if you don't fit the rich cis white standard of beauty, don't worry, you're still hot.
That is so true. So Weston, what are you mad about today?
Thank you for asking. I don't have all the details, so I don't want to get too specific, but apparently there is a woman based out of North Texas who's showing up in queer spaces like drag shows and being violent and bringing people to harass and possibly assault the folks that hang out there. So if you are frequenting these spaces, do be careful and prepare accordingly. The reason I wanted to highlight this is the kind of thing that this TERF ideology perpetuates and condones. The more people spread this kind of anti-trans and anti-gay sentiment and work to undermine the legitimacy of the existence of trans people, the longer that queer folks have to live in fear of very real violence and threats to their lives. So the reason we're talking about this article isn't just to laugh at it and have a good time. It's also to highlight the consequences of spewing this kind of hateful rhetoric into the ether and to really drive home the idea that queer folks need to be protected and we have to push back and fight against this kind of bullshit wherever we find it.
Absolutely.
Whew.
Yeah. Sorry y'all are dealing with that in Texas.
What are you mad about, Easton?
So last episode we talked about queer elders being shitty to the younger generations, but today I'm pretty mad about an issue where I think the community is dropping the ball and throwing our elders under the bus, along with many others. I'm mad that every fucking year, disabled queers gotta scream about how inaccessible pride events are seemingly unheard every time, and in the pandemic, it continues to be worse than ever. Why did I see no COVID precautions in event announcements? Why did I see no masks in the photos? Why? This is a year where pride should be more than ever a protest against the state that is failing us at every turn, but back to normal practices just eat their propaganda up unchallenged. So, first of all, COVID. Second of all, monkeypox, which, is probably disproportionately affecting queer men and may also be airborne. It's really fucking bad timing to let our guards down as a community. And it's really important to point out that some of the people at the highest risk when it comes to COVID and now monkeypox and people who are therefore shut out of your maskless crowded gatherings is every single person with AIDS. What the fuck? Like, what is history? What is current events? What is solidarity? What is community? We can do a lot better, and now is the time. Pride is political, not just a party. So, call to action, abled queers, please, let's start doing better today so that by the time Pride rolls around next year, we don't have to have this conversation again.
Very well said. Sorry, I was snapping as like a hell yeah, not as like a, I forgot that that's like the thing. Yeah, very well said, Easton. It's something that like, I think a lot of people are letting go, like this idea that like COVID's still dangerous because we have, some people have vaccines, whatever, but it's like, it's not that way for everybody. And I think it's important to step up for those people who don't have the choice.
Absolutely.
That wraps it up for part two, y'all. Stay tuned for even more bold-faced hypocrisy, projection, mind reading, and lies.
And finally, the fabled clapping.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying this so far, please like, rate, review, share, and follow wherever you listen. It really helps get the word out. Also, word of mouth really helps. So if you know anyone who might enjoy this, send them a link to the show. And well, that would just be real cool.
Hell yeah. We are at 49 listeners. That means if you decide to, I don't know, re-listen on a new account or a different device, we get to start making ad money. It's so helpful to have some extra cushion in this awful job market.
And if you think we're cute and have the extra cash, we've got our PayPal in the show notes. Any amount is enough. And for everyone who donates, we will release a white dove and shed one single tear.
Follow us on our socials at MadAboutPod on Twitter and at WayMattPod on Instagram. It's free. Also made a TikTok account. We might start posting there at some point at MadAboutPod. We very much appreciate your feedback and those dopamine hits when we get the notifications.
Also, don't forget to share our stories, you know, blast our shit out there. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, we love that shit.
We do love it. We love that. We love you. We love that for us. We love it for you. And it shouldn't go without saying, be sure to support our wonderful guest, Nikki. You can find her streaming on twitch.tv/alliteraltranswoman and follow her on Twitter @literal_trans or on Instagram @dump_gf_666.
So in conclusion to this episode, we have a female hive body theory going on. We found out that the original tweet, which didn't mention trans people, came from a cis straight woman. We've revealed the way J.K. Rowling herself doesn't live up to purity-based TERF body standards. We found out that she's, I guess, jealous of trans women's hotness and copes by projecting that envy. And we uncovered exclusive secrets of the surreptitious sinister cis society, as well as the trans Illuminati.
I can't wait to be assimilated. This second part took us into the weird world of what a real woman is, I guess, maybe. And we had a lot of fun cutting up and chopping down this absurd article. The next part will be even more fun, so keep those notifications on so you don't miss it. Ready, 3, 2, 1.
And that's what we're mad about today.
I love that. We should just always make it like we can never.
Remember, everyone, you define yourself.
No coming.
And stay angry.
Hit it, Simon. Clench your fist and punch the air one time. It's time to beat it up. Clench your fist.
I'm mad. And punch the air one time. It's time to beat it up. Clench those fists and punch the air two times.
Happy.